And so actually, before I start my talk today, I have to share with you a story that I read yesterday in the news, a news story, a real story. It says, U.S. Episcopal Diocese votes to stop using masculine pronouns for God. Is that incredible? Washington, D.C., February 1st, 2018. The Episcopal Church in the Diocese of Washington, D.C. passed a resolution last week to stop using masculine pronouns for God in future updates to its Book of Common Prayer. The resolution to stop using, quote, gendered language for God was passed quickly by delegates to the diocese's 123rd convention. Quote, over the centuries, our language and our understanding of God has continued to change and adapt, the drafters of the resolution stated. The drafters said that referring to God using masculine pronouns is to limit our understanding of God. By expanding our language, we will expand our image of God and the nature of God, they stated. That is amazing to me. And not only have they expanded their image of God and the nature of God, but they will have expanded the way they experience God. Because what we name something determines how we experience it. That is amazing. And I don't know if you know this, how long you've been hanging out. You will never hear me refer to God in a masculine term. You won't hear me refer to God in a feminine term either, because to me that limits what God is. And if God is this infinite presence and power and essence and beingness and the very foundation of beingness itself, how can that be a man or a woman? To me, that it's includes both, or it's neither, but it's really all that is. So I wanted to share that with you. That's so amazing to me. That is such a representation of growth and expansion in that Episcopal Church. It's giving way to something greater. Do you see that? This greater definition, which just so happens to be what I'm talking about today, is growth and expansion and giving way to something greater. And so, have you noticed in your life that a tree actually never quits growing? That the very nature or part of the nature of that tree is growth. That even when it's reached its maximum height, it still puts out branches and limbs and twigs and leaves, and if it flowers, flowers, or pine cones if it's a pine tree, that it is constantly sending forth something more from within it and growing and expanding. The growth of that tree, unfolding its own innate nature, is the thing that actually creates that draw on the soil of the moisture and the nutrients and the sustenance from that soil. And without that growth, the tree would not create that draw on the soil. And so what that means to me, that its growth and its unfolding places it in the flow of a greater life. That its self-expression, if you will, places it in that flow of drawing so that it can express. Its own becoming more places it in the flow. And so it draws from the earth, and it draws from the sun, and it draws from the atmosphere, and then puts forth branches and leaves and oxygen for animals and people to breathe. And it puts forth shelter for animals to stay in, and a place for birds to build nests and to raise their young, and a place for us to sit beneath its shade on a hot day, and a place for children to climb and hang a swing and swing during the summertime. All of that is part of the flow, the drawing and the expressing and the giving of itself, which is what we've been talking about, the flow, all month. And so like that nature of a tree, growth and expansion and unfolding happens everywhere. It's happening in the Episcopal Church this week. It's happening everywhere that we look, that growth and expansion and unfolding. And so because of the fact that we are expressing life itself, that we are an expression of life and that we are expressing that, we then have a need within us, an innate need to grow and to expand and to give way to a greater life and to allow life to unfold in us and through us in a greater way, we have a need to express a greater sense of self, to express a greater livingness, to express ourselves in a greater way than what we have expressed before, to express ourselves in a fuller way than what we've had. That's a need, a spiritual need that is innate and born within us. Regardless if you are 3 or 53 or 103, you still have that need. The problem is sometimes as we get older, we kind of don't grow as much as we did when we were younger. And part of the reason for that is because we get stuck in a rut. We tend to do the same things that we've done in the same way that we've done them, and we just kind of get into this routine, and we keep doing the same thing over and over. We go to the same job every day for years sometimes, driving the same exact route to work every day. We go to the same places for entertainment, and we visit the same people, and we go to the same restaurants where we order the same thing that we order every time we go to that restaurant. And if they take it off the menu, we're really unhappy about it. How's that for being stuck in a rut? We go to the same grocery store where we buy the same brands of food, and we buy the same food, and we listen to the same music that we did when we were 20 and 30, and we read the same kind of books. Anybody relate to any of that? Do you do any of those things? And it seems like the older we get, the more set we get in our ways of how we do things and what we do, and the less we step out of our box. The less that we learn new things or do new things or experience new things. I have a hairdressing client who was telling me at Thanksgiving, she typically has always had Thanksgiving at her house forever since her kids were little, and now they're grown and they have kids and families. And so this was the first year she actually went to her son's house, and her son and his wife made dinner, and she was telling me that they made roasted vegetables. They made roasted vegetables, and they were like still kind of really firm. And I said, oh, and how did you like them? Oh, well, I didn't taste them. I like my vegetables boiled. Ooh! But that's what we do. Oh, no, I like things this way, so I'm not stepping out of my box and doing something new. And the second problem is we kind of stop expanding and expressing and exploring and doing things new because we live in this collective consciousness, this collective soup of thought that tells us what it looks like to be 30 or 50 or 70 or 90, and we buy into that. And if you notice, that collective soup is different for different cultures. People at 90 in Japan live differently than people in Switzerland who live differently than people in America. And so we buy into this idea of what it looks like to be this particular age. But we don't have to buy into that idea that says old people don't change. They sit at home and are kind of lumps on logs and don't do anything. We don't have to buy into that, but if you're not going to buy into it, you have to consciously choose to believe something different and to do something different. Eric Butterworth, in the book that we've been reading in The Flow of Life, says you don't grow old. When you stop growing, you are old. And so as long as we are alive, we have a need to grow. As long as we are alive, we have that need to grow, because as long as we're alive, we have a need to unfold our greater self. We have a need to give way to that which has not come through and been born through us yet, to unfold our own greater yet to be. And so the title of my talk today is The Fat Lady Has Not Sung, because that's the truth. It's not over. And so this talk today is the last in a series on that book, In the Flow of Life by Eric Butterworth. And the chapter today is called Grow Old or Grow Onward. And so we are growing onward. And so one of the things that he says in this chapter this week is, no matter what your business was, your true business was, is, and will always be the business of releasing the flow of God manifesting in you as you. That is what we are up to here as human beings, is giving way to that presence, giving way to the divine, giving way to the magnificence of the universe, giving way to divinity itself, giving way to our own creative expression and our own inner beauty. That's what we're here doing forever, as long as we're on this planet. Because that's how the divine expresses itself in this world. And you know what? God is the only thing going on. God is the only thing that's happening, and we are it in expression. So it is unfolding through us as we grow and expand and explore and become more and give more of ourselves in the world. All of those ways is how the divine expresses through us. Ernest Holmes says that we are on an eternal upward spiral, an eternal, forever upward spiral. That is because our souls are on an eternal pathway of unfolding, forever unfolding that infinite one by means of us. And so as we grow, as we unfold our own greater yet to be, as we give way to that which is greater, what happens is we step into that flow of life. We step into the energy of wisdom. We step into creativity. We step into beauty. We step into brilliance and into magnificence and bring that into the world as our very own creative expression. Just like a tree, when we give of ourselves, when we express something new, when we learn something new and expand, we're drawing on that reservoir of the infinite, just like that tree draws on the soil and draws on the sun. And then it expresses in a larger way within us. That's how we're stepping into the flow. As we express something more, it comes into a greater degree. That is the flow. And so Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, said, God is more completely expressed through the one who lives largely than through the one who lives meagerly. When we live largely, we are expressing more of that presence and more of our true selves. And so I have a friend, Pat, who some of you know, who is Reverend Tracy's partner. And she has been running these races that are called Spartan races. They are a spinoff from what was called the Death Race, which was a 14-hour race. And it's a little tiny bit of a smaller version of that. And so the Spartan race has three different levels, and it's a trifecta. So the goal is to actually do each one of the levels. And so the first level is to run 3 miles and to do 20 different obstacles, as in like an obstacle course. The second one is 8 miles and 25 obstacles. The third one is 13 miles and 30 obstacles. And I'm not talking running on a track. They have these events all over the place. One of those events, the running was running up a hill that was of loose shale that was sliding out from underneath her feet the whole time. Running on uneven pathways, running through mud. So they do this run, and then in between the run, they keep stopping and doing all these different obstacles that are things like climbing over a wall that's too tall. You might have to have someone help hoist your foot up to get you over the wall. Climbing up a rope all the way to the top. Crawling through mud. I saw her this week. She was saying one of the hardest things they did was you climb over a wall, then there was a second wall that's in a huge puddle of muddy water, and you have to dive underneath the wall and come back up and then continue running. All of us keep saying, oh my God, you're crazy. What are you doing this for? And if you don't make it through any of those exercises that you have to do 30 burpees. Which means you get down into a push-up position and then jump back up and then get back down and then jump back up 30 times for every one that you don't complete. But what's so amazing is she talks about how much this has changed her doing these, how much more confidence she has, how it's changed her image of herself, how much more focused she is in her life and all the different things that she's doing. How much stronger she is, and she says how much happier she is in her whole, just in general in her life. She's giving way to something greater that was in her that she didn't even know existed until she started doing this stuff. That's what happens when we learn something new. That's what happens when we do something new. We get to give way to that which we haven't even discovered up until then. And so growing and unfolding and expanding puts us in sync with the nature of life. And it increases that flow to us and through us and as us. We increase our flow. That flow is the activity of the divine, the activity of the infinite. And so the second chapter that we read in this book was all about change. And I know that you've all heard it said that the only constant is change. That, in fact, the nature of life is change. Nothing stays the same. And so Eric Butterworth says, I love this. Where are the snows of yesterday? Obviously, yesterday's snows have become part of today's trees and plants and rivers and oceans. All of them have been transformed completely, transmuted into new life and new forms. That change transforms us into something new. That's the nature of life. And so when we stop changing, when we stop growing, we take ourselves out of the flow because we have stepped out of that dynamic life force that we live in and that lives within us. That's why it feels so exciting to do something new, to even go somewhere new, to learn something new or create something new, because we're stepping back into the nature of life that is change. And so for Christmas, I got a book that is taking walks in LA. And what it does is it gives you directions of different places to go. And then when you go on the walk, it tells you turn left on this street and walk down here. And we went to Manhattan Beach on one of those walks out of the book. And had us park at the bottom of this park where there is, honest to God, a real sand dune in the park. You know, Manhattan Beach is built on the sand dunes. That's what the hills are. And so there's a huge sand dune for people to climb. And so there were wooden stairs that we climbed through this beautiful green area and get to the top. And you have to actually make reservations, adults, to do the sand dune. Kids get to do it whenever they want. So we didn't do the sand dune, but it was really cool. And then we walked down these streets and there are areas from, I don't know, say we were like 6 blocks up from the beach that are almost as wide as this room that are pavers where you can walk down to the beach across the hills. And we went down to the beach and walked along the boardwalk and to the pier and then up and went out to lunch at a really funky, fun restaurant that used to be the post office that was so cool. And we had bacon and cheddar biscuits that I'd never eaten before. But it was amazing. It was so much fun. And I kept thinking about it afterwards. It was such a fun day because it was all new. It's amazing how fun it is to do something new or experience something new. It makes us feel alive. We step back into that nature of change. That's why people take classes. That's why people sign up for some of our fundraisers that we do, like the Tibetan bowl meditation or doing pottery on a wheel. It's about learning something new and doing something new and experiencing something new so we can discover something new inside of us, so that we can discover something new about life, so we can bring something new forward. Pat, my friend, has discovered all this stuff that was the truth about her forever that she didn't know it was there. It gives us the opportunity to discover something new. And I see Ginger sitting here in the audience, and she's been doing these major hikes. You just did a 15-mile hike? And kicking her butt, and same thing. She's on this mission this year to do all these hikes. She's discovering something new and giving way to something new within her. It's so fun. And so Eric Butterworth says, you can build on past successes, but you cannot rest on it. It is in working toward the achievement that we gain life satisfactions, not in savoring the achievement itself. So it's actually going to the pottery class and learning how to make a pot and making it yourself that feels so satisfying. that feels so fulfilling. It's not the next week thinking about, oh, that was so fun. It's not looking at the pot that you have on your shelf that you may actually like, but the satisfaction and the fulfillment actually comes from making the pot, from doing it, from learning that new thing. And that is because it feels so satisfying, because it's born out of that need to expand and to grow and to give way to something greater within us. And so as we've been doing this abundance program, we have defined abundance in the past weeks. And we defined it as experiencing the good, as feeling like we have enough of whatever is important to us in life, and enough so that it feels satisfying to us. It's about feeling filled up and feeling full and feeling satisfied. So whenever you feel filled up like that, whenever you feel satisfied like that, you know you're in the flow. That's an indicator. And so I have a question for you. What is it that you are doing in your life now that makes you feel satisfied like that? That gives you that deep sense of satisfaction? You have two little yellow papers in your bulletin, and I'm going to let you write that down. So if you need a pen, if you raise your hand, Barbara will give you a pen. And so the question is, what are you doing now that brings you a deep sense of satisfaction, that brings you that sense of fulfillment and feeling full? When you're doing that thing, you're on purpose. When you're doing that thing, you're in the flow of your own beingness and what you're here to do. And the second question is, what is there in you that you have not yet expressed in the world that you want to share? What have you not yet shared of yourself that you would like to share? What is in you that you have not yet expressed? You know, and it doesn't even have to be a big, heavy thing. It could be some playing in some way. It could be lots of different things. So doing that thing, expressing that thing is one of your next steps of unfolding, of giving way to something that lives within inside of you that is just knocking to come out, that's knocking to be expressed, and in that brings you that satisfaction. So the first one is how you already place yourself in the flow, and the second is another way that you can step into the flow. And so Eric Butterworth invites us to not settle on a final definition of ourselves, for we are not done yet. It is not yet manifest what you are to be. The fat lady has not sung. And so my invitation to you is to do something new. Go somewhere new. Bring something new forward from within you that you have not yet brought into this world. To place yourself in that flow, to feel more alive, to feel more fulfilled, to feel more satisfied, to give way to that infinite, infinite presence in a greater way. And so blessings to each and every one of you on this path of self-discovery, on this path of bringing that presence into this world in a way that blesses you and in a way that blesses everyone else. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. Oh, and so how good it is just to be in recognition of this infinite presence that we live in. This one presence and this one power, this most magnificent beingness of the universe that is the animating force of everything. For I know it is this presence that expresses itself as everything. This presence of beauty and of magnificence and of joy and of love and of power and of wholeness. All of this is this presence unfolding itself here, all around us, as everything we see and as everything we do, that presence unfolding itself as that which beckons to our hearts of what we long to do and who we long to be and what we long to share. It is all this presence unfolding itself. For I know that this activity is the only thing that there is, this activity of the infinite, this activity of the magnificent, this activity of that which is most holy and is the very ground of being and the center and circumference of everything. And so today we walk this day in recognition of this infinite presence, that yes, we are bathed in it, that yes, we are immersed in it, and yes, that we are filled with it. And so I claim and know today that it is leading us into this most satisfying life. It is leading us into the most wonderful opportunities for creative expression. It is leading us into that which is the most heart-fulfilling and soul-fulfilling. That our path is absolutely blessed and is God-ordained. This, before we ever incarnated into these human bodies, was the call of our own soul to come here and express this magnificence. And so that is exactly what we are doing here today, giving way to that presence in ways of peace and of love and of sharing and of kindness and of our own creativity. All of this is what we are here doing. And so I know that we are already blessed and that our paths are already blessed, for the divine is here unfolding itself through us and as us. And so today we just rest in that presence and we rest in that assurance that our every need is met, that that infinite source is pouring all good into our lives right now, that we have everything that we need. And we share all that we are. And what a blessing it is just to be in this circulation, in this expression, in this beauty. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law and womb of the universe, knowing that it is taken a hold of and that it is unfolding itself in the most spectacular way now. And we just get to partake of it. And so I release this prayer, and I let it be, and I say, and so it is.